Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley. Now, Steve Paisley Jordahl joined us.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard. Hey. So, Steve's rocking the... You got a loud Paisley shirt on today.
I have a brand new. I told you a couple of weeks ago I was getting a little tired of the Paisley in my closet. So
yeah.
I went shopping, got some new Paisley, and I got to blame you for all this.
I'm going to get me one of those.
I'm going to make you answer this question again, even though you've answered it before. Yeah. You know we're in summertime in July, Mississippi.
I did.
With the long sleeve shirt on.
Go in and give our audience the answer.
Yeah.
It's 72 degrees here.
It's inside. It's 70 degrees inside.
That's right.
It's a nice shirt.
Hey, yeah. I want to put a bow on our last segment where I think we can all agree on here. And I've concluded over my years on pondering that idea and studying the Bible and then listening
to others.
Why
bad things happen to good people, so to speak.
That God's not the problem, he's a solution to the problem. That's what I've concluded.
Ooh, that's good.
Not the problem, he's a solution.
Yeah, amen. All right, well, listen, our colleague and friend J.J. Jasper is on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And we talked to him earlier this morning via the phone, and he agreed to join us to tell us what's happening in Nigeria.
Kenya.
But he's also going to talk about Nigeria.
If he wants to talk about Nigeria,
he's going to go all over Africa.
Right.
Disgusting.
All right. JJ, Jumbo. A lot of stuff going on in Nairobi, Kenya. And I know you are in Nairobi visiting or coming to bring your daughter, who is working at a Christian school there in Kenya, bring her back. And you were looking forward to a nice, wonderful vacation-type experience with her, and it's turned into something a little more stressful. How you doing, and what's going on there?
We're doing well, but a political uprising. They're very unhappy with their president, and they want to oust him. And so we heard the chatter. I heard them talking about it when I was in London on a layover, and people say, boy, you picked a bad time to go to Africa with how volatile it is. So we got here on Sunday night. Monday, my daughter Maddie, a teacher at Rift Valley Academy in Kajabi, Kenya, a teacher missionary, she had taken off work on Monday, and we were going to take a couple of hours and go to a safari. Well, then we started hearing from all of the security. Rift Valley has great security. In fact, some of their security, it's the off-duty people that are at the American Embassy, and they have a guard. They've got razor wire. The entire campus is fenced in. They've got German Shepherd dogs. But the head of security reached out, and they said that there is a planned insurrection. They're going to be blocking the roads. From our driver, who we had hired, he was telling us the same thing. We were hearing it in the news, and then the head of security said, it's too dangerous for you to try to drive back to the campus. And so then our driver put it in real candid terms. He said, they're going to be blocking the roads with all these rocks and things, and they're going to be throwing stones, and then they'll set a few vehicles on fire, and there's going to be gunfire. In fact, there was somebody killed. We know of one, possibly more. So then we were stranded in Nairobi for a couple of days. And then last night, you know, we were talking to the head of security. We're talking to our driver. He was calling people he knew. And our plan, they said, if we just slip out early in the morning, this morning, to leave at 4 o'clock, 4:30, to get down the road in front of while the bad actors, while the protesters, the rioters were still sleeping. So we slipped out of a little town, Rongdon, Kenya, Africa, there, just a suburb of Nairobi. And already we saw, burning tires. We saw rubble waist high. We had to zigzag around the rubble. It wasn't quite Black Hawk Down, but it was absolutely Los Angeles-ish. And so it's a little scary when you're from America and you're driving through some of that and just, you know, the driver told us to stay down to avoid a stray bullet. That's not what you want to hear when you're in an Uber. But he, you know, and then, but we did see a lot of police presence, even at 4 in the morning, and a lot of construction, cleaning up some of the things that were across the road. So we made it safely. 2-hour drive from Nairobi to Kajabi, Kenya. 2 hours away, it's not a problem here. And this campus, I got a chance to do some devotions with the kids. I've got to see where Maddie lives and serves. But for the whole nation, they really need our prayers. There really is. As I mentioned, we were driving around burning tires, seeing all this rubble, and I don't know how many fatalities from
well, that. But yeah,
the intel, yeah.
J.J. Jasper, our friend and colleague, joining us from Kenya, where his daughter has been serving there. What's the name of the school?
It's Rift Valley Academy, an amazing school. Yeah.
And so he's JJ and Maddie there. And so what is making, in fact, on NBC News, it says at least 10 killed and Nairobi locked down as police in
Kenya. They were locking us down. They were telling everybody, don't travel, don't go anywhere.
So when are you supposed to go there? When are you supposed to go to the airport?
I think we're going to be in good shape. It's this weekend. And so they said our driver, who's a native, he said that this happens. It was a scheduled uprising. He said that it happens for a couple of days. They just want to flex their muscles. It's the younger people primarily. He told us there's a lot of corruption in the government, and the nationals are very unhappy with their president. So they just want to protest and riot, and then it just settles back down.
I can tell you the history of it if anyone's interested. But there is a level 2 travel advisory from the State Department out right now for Kenya. So, and that means to exercise increased caution, which, JJ, I'm sure that you're already doing given what you're seeing there, right?
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have looked. I was traveling with my daughter. We weren't going to take any chances. And so whenever the driver and the head of security said, yes, that's your best plan, is to leave early in the morning. If we came up on any sketchy situation, turn around and go back. And so we were able to slip through. We didn't see anything. We saw a massive police presence, lots and lots of police. 4 in the morning, their police, you know, just vehicles after vehicles, just clusters of police and construction crews clearing the debris. Like, we had to just go down one lane because the boulders and the rocks and the broken concrete blocks were waist high. But I've got to say, in my lifetime, I've never experienced anything like that. And it puts a, you know, with us just celebrating the 4th of July and living in a safe, clean, wonderful country and not living in a third world country. Guys, we got a lot to be thankful for.
Hey, JJ, Tim wants you to talk about Nigeria.
Yeah, that's all we do.
Hey, look, he knew Nairobi. Nairobi, Nigeria. Yeah, right. It's easy to mix
up. It's easy for an American to get his countries mixed up on in other parts of the world. All right, thanks. Take care, JJ. Be safe. We'll pray for you and Maddie, and we'll look forward to seeing when you get home.
Well, we're going to make it just fine. I'm posting some pics on Facebook, JJ Jasper Official on Facebook, and we really appreciate the prayers. I didn't say much about how volatile it was. I didn't want to get Mama and church members and everybody too concerned, but we do appreciate your prayers. And we're fine now. It's going to settle down. We're going to make it back to the airport, make it home safe and sound.
Okay, thank you. That's JJ Jasper joining us. What was his Facebook page? JJ Jasper Official.
Official. Yep, JJ Jasper Official.
Somebody got, is there some JJ Jasper Unofficial? Unofficial.
No, I think he's got 2 accounts. So I think he's got the one he started originally and then one he uses more for ministry, I guess. I'm not sure. I think that explains it.
Right? You ever been to Kenya?
I have. I've been to Nigeria.
Yeah.
And I've been to Kenya. And everything. I have not seen it exactly like that, but the instability of, I was going to say Kenya, but let's face it, most of the governments of Africa, very similar.
Yeah.
And been there when they told us stay inside and avoid this area and that area. Kenyan Christians, wonderful. Gospel is moved in big parts of Kenyan society, but it is politically unstable, and so I'm glad to get that report from JJ and come on back home.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Next, let's talk about a new a federal judge who on Monday put a 14-day block on the Big Beautiful Bill's defunding of Planned Parenthood. It didn't defund it by name, but it did refuse to put any tax dollars towards abortion. And this judge, her name is Indira Talwani. She is an appointee of former President Barack Obama. She has put a 14-day injunction on that part of the Big Beautiful Bill.
What was her name again?
Indira Talwani, T-A-L-T-A-L-W-A-N-I.
All right. So, by the way, we've—I don't know that we mentioned this. Congratulations and thank you for the House Republicans, yeah, primarily. I don't know if there were any Democrats who voted for this, but I don't think so. And that included in the Big Beautiful Bill a first, and that is the defunding, at least for a year, of the largest abortion provider in America, Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Planned Parenthood is an organization. They do other things than abortion, but that's how they make their money, okay? Is they are the number one provider of abortion. They do more abortions than any other entity in the United States.
And that's what they primarily do as a... Yeah, right. Go ahead.
And so... they also get money from the federal government. They have a lot of money, like what? Tens of millions or hundreds of millions? I don't know.
I think it's hundreds of millions.
Hundred million.
Multiple millions per year. And sorry, I didn't look up the number.
I'll look it up. I'm pretty sure it's 700 million.
Okay. Yes, I think you're right. So pro-life people and people who are, I think, fair-minded have argued over the years, this shouldn't be so. You can... If you want to advocate for abortion rights, go ahead, but don't use tax dollars to do actual abortions.
Right.
This was the so-called Hyde Amendment that existed for a long time and still exists, but it was circumvented by a technicality that I can't explain, and I would bore people to tears if I tried to. So just to say this, the Big Beautiful Bill defunded Planned Parenthood or any organization that does abortions from taxpayer money. So that is worth celebrating. Okay, now, but as has happened with President Trump in the last few months, some liberal judge steps in, federal judge steps in and says, no, I'll decide what's constitutional and what's not, not the legislature. Not President Trump and the legislature. The legislative process was carried out as it is intended to do, and this one judge steps in and says, no, I think I want to protect the abortion industry. And now, this is a temporary...
14-day block, and that gives it time for courts to wade through some of the legal issues.
But in my humble opinion, this judge has no right to even stop this for 2 weeks. This is legislation.
That's right.
This is codified law. This is not a executive order by the president, which can change based on whoever the president is. This is a legislative, statutory. So this judge is way out of line again, and will be struck down ultimately by the Supreme Court if she needs to be. Is it a she?
She.
Go ahead, Wesley.
Yes. However, one or two things needs to happen because, as you pointed out, this is distinguishably different than an executive order, like the one where Trump was sending executive order to send illegal criminals, aliens that have invaded the country back to another to a country of our choosing, or however that was worded. That was held up in court for a time, and then it was later.
That was an executive order.
Executive order.
Yeah.
I'm making sure we understand the difference here because I agree with you. There's a big difference. That's Trump making an executive order pretty much himself by the stroke of a pen. Okay. Now, we've already covered and assumed that that's his duties because he, as a president, is responsible for protecting our country. But that was what was held up in court. However, this is one that, as you pointed out, has been passed through and signed by both committees. Like it's
houses,
both houses. And so this is not something that just essentially one person did.
Right.
And so all that to say, to make the point that one or two things needs to happen. One, she needs to just be completely ignored. Completely ignored. Or number two, the option two is that when this does go to the Supreme Court, yeah, and she is ruled to be wrong,
right,
there needs to be there needs to be a consequence.
I agree.
One of the two things, because you can't just.
I know. She needs to be impeached. But anyway,
there's nothing about the fact that it is a law passed by Congress that precludes the Supreme Court or a federal court from taking up a case. A controversy can be one that, right, Congress passed. And Congress could not pass a law, for example, that said we're going to reinstate slavery.
Right.
Because that would run afoul of the 15th Amendment, plus a whole lot of other things. So,
there is judicial review for a valid reason, but this is not one of them. This is a discretionary spending of money. There's nothing constitutional about it or unconstitutional about it. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in the Constitution does it say, and thus it will be required of the United States federal government to fund Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
No, there's nothing like that.
And I got our answer, too. It's just north of $300 million in taxpayer money that's primarily goes through Medicaid to fund abortions.
Yeah. So, apparently, good for the Republican in the House and the Senate and President Trump
and
on this one.
Bad on this judge.
Yeah, yeah. Next story.
All right, well, we got some good news. Depending on who the administration is, the federal government argues for or against the same thing. Now, the IRS said on Monday that churches and other houses of worship can endorse political candidates to their congregations. It's now okay, Ray, if you're the pastor of a church in Kansas City there, for you to say, we got a upcoming election and you need to elect Joe Brown to the as the governor of this state because the other candidate is bad for.
Or you can say, look, we want this person on the school board, right? Just show your people, vote for Mary Smith to be on the school board, or somebody to be a trustee.
That's right.
Of a city. Basically, it's,
any elected official.
Churches, let me say this. Churches have been moving in that direction for a long time. And there are some churches where the pastors have been doing this for a long time. And I think the IRS has recognized this and said, we're not going to try to police this anymore.
What the IRS said is the agency said that if a house of worship endorsed a candidate to its congregants, the IRS would view that not as a campaigning, but as a private matter like a family discussion concerning candidates. I thought that was an interesting
Does that mean that's a slippery slope right there, isn't it, Steve?
Well,
I mean, I get it. Well, what a pastor says to his congregation on Sunday morning, okay, fine. But what if that, as nearly all services are live streamed today, right, or posted on the internet? So what happens in the church house isn't going to necessarily stay there.
Alliance Defending Freedom years ago tried to bait the IRS into enforcing what's known as the Johnson Amendment, which is the amendment that says that you're not supposed to be able to use churches for political or nonprofits for political means, churches specifically. And so they did what they called the Pulpit Project, and they actually had pastors, they signed up dozens of them every year on a certain date to preach a sermon trying their best to run afoul of whatever this Johnson Amendment was, to try to get, because they wanted this, they knew that it was an unconstitutional ban, they wanted it to go through the courts and have the court rule it such. The IRS never bit. They never once came after these pastors who were going and doing exactly what they're now allowed to do. So,
well, you know, Steve, black churches have been, they've been very active politically. I can remember. Now, this goes back. I was in seminary in Texas. So this takes us back a half a century to the 1970s. It was early November 1976. I was in the third year at Dallas Seminary. And in the town where I was serving as an assistant pastor somewhere, some little town outside of Dallas. There's a Black Baptist church that our church had some sort of fellowship with, and the pastor said, "Ray, why don't you go preach for them?" And I said, "When?" He said, "It's a Sunday, you know, first Sunday of November." I didn't think anything of it. And I went over there, and sweet congregation, friendly people, pastor couldn't have been nicer, and great preaching environment. But I've never forgotten this. Before I was going to get up and preach, this was when it was Jimmy Carter versus Gerald Ford in 76. The pastor got up and he looked at me and said, "Now, you might not hear this, what I'm about to say, in your church." I kind of went, you know, "Fine. It's your church, brother. Say whatever you want to say." And he said, "Now, to the congregation, to my people," said, "you know, we know Gerald Ford's a good man and all this, but," he said, "you ought to take your friend to the polling place. You got to go in there with him. And if you see they're about to vote for Gerald Ford, you need to go in there and take their hand and move it over." That's what he said, to move it over and have them vote for Jimmy Carter.
Well, that worked out well, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, no surprise. Yeah. I've seen stuff like that many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't even bother me. It was his church. And I think the IRS is saying,
it'll be interesting to see the next Democrat administration if the IRS holds to this. It's a lawsuit that is being adjudicated, so if there's a decision in it, it will probably have some more staying power. Hey, I want to end with this. I have a new favorite band. It's called The Velvet Sundown, and they have a song out that is it's trending. It's on Spotify. It's one of the top songs. I just want to play a little bit of it. This is called "Dust on the Wind." Cut 15.
Dust on the wind, boots on the ground, smoke in the sky.
That is The Velvet Sundown, which actually is an AI band. Nothing you heard there. The lyrics, the music, the voice is real.
And it didn't generate from another person, so to speak. It just generated from AI.
This is how they describe themselves, as a synthetic music project guided by human creative direction and composed, voiced, and visualized with the support of artificial intelligence. They got pictures of the band. They got a video out, the whole bit.
Yeah. Are you saying that's a, I mean, you could listen to them on Spotify?
More than a million people a month follow this band on Spotify.
But this what band doesn't exist.
So then who gets the revenue from that? Whoever created
it.
Somebody's racking it up. Yeah.
Somebody is. It's interesting, the comments under the listing here. They say, "This song brings back so many good memories of 10011001010."
Well,
you know, my generation is really, I've really pushed back on the fake stuff. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
That it's going to be, I'd be real interesting to see how AI's handled amongst my generation for that reason alone.
I like that little clip we heard.
Yeah.
Good.
I prefer Kansas "Dust in the Wind."
I know. I know. Title is a little derivative.
Yeah. Now, as I've said, listen, if AI, as fake as it may be, can cause Mississippi State to win a football national championship,
small price to pay.
I'm going to go with that. Okay, I'm for it.
Whatever it takes.
I'm running a story today that says experts say there's a 30% chance AI is going to kill us all.
Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. See you then.